Chapter 4. Biology was held in a dimly lit cellar classroom beneath the main building, just outside of a large greenhouse, and it was admittedly a pretty inconvenient location. As I walked through the dark stone tunnel that led to the classroom, I pushed away all thoughts of the Arkans and my failed lesson, and resigned myself to focusing on school. I took my seat at one of the three long tables that filled the room and held my nose to keep from inhaling the sour scent of mold, but the smell was inescapable. Large drops of water trickled from the many cracks in the stone and plopped onto the ground with gusto, and I felt a few of them against my scalp as I pulled out my books. I was still amazed such a room existed in the academy. The whole structure seemed extremely out of place and abandoned compared to the rest of the campus. Professor Cromwell entered the room, greeted us with a quick smile, and then took his place at the podium, where he immediately began to outline the next chapter in the course. As he spoke enthusiastically about the effect of different insect species on the ecosystem, I heard a few whispers behind me, and I turned around and met the eyes of one of the students in the back. My classmates didn't share a fondness for me, and it was evident that they'd been speaking about me when one of the adept mages wrinkled his nose at my gaze. No matter how many times we'd seen each other, they still didn't trust me, and believed the rumors that had been spread while I'd been away in the southern continent. That I was some kind of monster who consorted with demons. I turned around and ignored them for the rest of the hour. They weren't worth my time or my energy. When the bell rang, I sprang from my seat and made my way out of the tunnel and into the main building. It was time for history. On my way to Arwen's classroom, I caught sight of Brayden and waved to get my friend's attention, and Brayden ambled toward me with a goofy smile on his wide face.
"How was your lesson with the first years?"
Brayden asked before I'd even had the chance to properly greet him.
"Ugh,
I'd rather not talk about it right now," I admitted, and Brayden gave me an understanding nod and didn't press the issue. As we maneuvered down the heavily populated corridor, a couple of people stopped to congratulate me on my nuptials, and Brayden chuckled at the attention I was receiving.
"You're even more popular than you were before,"
my former roommate said in amazement.
"I don't know how you do it, Griff."
"What can I say? I'm just an interesting guy," I joked, and then I jabbed Brayden in the shoulder. The gesture hurt me more than it affected Brayden, but I appreciated the goofy exchanges I could share with my friend. "Speaking of popularity, where's Maddie today?"
"She was feeling a little under the weather, so she decided to skip today," Brayden replied with a sad expression. "We ate at an unfamiliar tavern last night, and the food didn't seem to agree with her. I'm going to swing by her room after class and make sure she's okay."
"You're a good lad," I complimented. "Maddie's lucky to have you." The remark earned me a wide smile from the big summoner. Then we reached Arwen's classroom, and I was disappointed to see a stranger at the front of the room instead of my red-haired lover. The substitute professor looked to be around the same age as Arwen, but that was where the similarities between the two women ended. The substitute professor had short-cropped silver hair, a sun-kissed complexion, and round, dark blue eyes almost too big for her petite face. She was outfitted in a long, plain black wool dress that gave no indication of her mage class, and one could almost say she was attractive, if it weren't for the permanent scowl etched onto her pixie-like face. The teacher eyed me with a bored expression, and I immediately found myself missing Arwen.
"This will be fun," Brayden murmured as he sat down at his desk and retrieved his textbook from his school bag.
I retrieved my own book and then leaned back into my chair and braced myself for a long hour ahead. Once everyone was seated, the professor cleared her throat and stood in front of the chalkboard.
"Good morning, class,"
she began, and I winced at the dull tone of her voice.
"My name is Evelyn Hura, and I will be filling in for Miss Hamner while she's away on school business. You may address me as Miss Hura."
"Hello, Miss Hura," the class droned. The silver-haired sub picked up a piece of parchment from Arwen's desk and scanned it thoroughly.
I can see from the notes Miss Hamner left that you all just completed your midterm exams. Today, we will waste no time and begin on the next chapter. Please turn to page 356.
Miss Eura launched into the lesson with no delay, and I attempted to follow along in my textbook, but the monotonous tone of her voice failed to grab my attention, and my eyelids grew heavy. As the substitute droned on about history, I caught myself thinking about Arwen. Headmaster Sleet had a tendency to send our group to dangerous locations with little to no information on the perils, and I was worried my lover was currently in a precarious situation. Not that Arwen and Ashla couldn't handle themselves, of course. Arwen was an accomplished healer and adept mage who could fabricate a flaming sword, and Ashla was a badass warrior ice mage. They were more than capable of kicking ass if necessary, but they were my friends, and lovers, and I hated being left in the dark. Arwen's note had been too brief for my liking, and I wished I could check in with my lovers just to know if they were okay. And on a more selfish note, I was curious about their secret mission, and what it had to do with the Guardian's books, if anything. The fact that they'd been sent for right after the Guardian's names were translated led me to believe there had been a new development in the research, and if it involved my parents, I needed to know. My heartbeat picked up, and I decided to remove myself from the situation. I was getting way too worked up, and it was only Monday. If I continued at this rate, it was going to be an incredibly long week. So I forced myself to stop thinking about Arwen and Ashla and tried again to focus on the text in front of me, but it was of no use. Miss Eura's lifeless tone was far too boring to understand, and I was not as interested in learning as I'd been at the start of class. So I angled myself to a less obvious position away from Miss Eura and closed my eyes. I wasn't usually the type of student who slept in class, but today was the exception, and before long, I drifted off to sleep. My short nap was empty and dreamless, which was the most preferable scenario in this case. I was in no mood to see the Arkans, and I had no desire to dream of anything other than empty space. I swam in the gray for a while and enjoyed the sensation of emptiness, but suddenly, I started to hear voices through the dreamscape.
Grief? Grief? Come on, Grief, the bell rang.
What?
I practically shouted as my eyes snapped open, and Brayden eyed me with a look of concern.
Sorry, he apologized. I didn't mean to startle you. You fell asleep.
I looked around the classroom to see everyone else had already left. Only Brayden and I remained in the room, and heat rose to my cheeks as I sat up.
Thanks, my friend, I replied and gave Brayden a smile. I didn't mean to completely sleep through the lesson. Eura's voice. Say no more, Brayden agreed. That woman could put a hungry stone giant to sleep with a single sentence.
The ox-like summoner helped me to my feet, and then we parted ways after a promise to meet up at lunch. Monster identification was my next class, and while I loved the subject and enjoyed learning about different monsters, I wasn't too thrilled about the execution. Miss Sullivan was an older teacher with a chip on her shoulder, and she was nearly as monotonous as Miss Eura. When I got to the classroom, I took a seat at the back, and was surprised when I noted Layla's absence in the classroom. I kept an eye on the door and expected to see the auburn-haired summoner run in late, but Layla never appeared. Then the bell rang, and Miss Sullivan launched into a post-midterm review lecture to refresh our minds. And as we began to recall different types of Grade B monsters, I gave up on waiting for Layla. I would have to fill the summoner in after class. After a painful long hour, the bell rang, and I left the classroom as quickly as possible. Suddenly, I heard a voice call out my name.
Griffey!
I turned around to see Layla just before she slammed against me, and her tiny body was surprisingly heavy against mine. I grunted from the force, and Layla laughed at my pain.
Gotcha!
She giggled victoriously, and she grinned up at me with impish delight. I couldn't help but smile back at the rambunctious mage. Layla was wild, but she kept things fun.
I didn't see you in monster identification, I lectured, and Layla rolled her hazel eyes.
I overslept, okay?
She shrugged, but I noticed the summoner's appearance was far tidier than someone who had just woken up.
Layla, you promised me you would start taking school seriously again, I sighed.
I didn't promise exactly.
Layla.
Look, I'll try, okay?
Layla huffed.
But I'm still not doing great.
When I'd been lost in the southern continent, Layla and the others had presumed I was dead, and with good reason. We'd had no means of communication for months, and Layla's grief clearly affected her academic performance. She'd started skipping classes again, and reverted back to her old first-year habits of not taking things seriously. You've been through a lot, and I know my unexpected absence didn't help, I said. But Layla, you have to go to your classes. They're important.
I know you have all of this faith in me, but I still don't think I'm cut out for all of this,
Layla muttered.
Classes don't really feel like they matter after being out in the real world.
I completely understand how you feel, I assured her. But instead of focusing on the fact that it's boring, try to take everything you've learned and apply it to what the professors are teaching. You're already so much further ahead than the rest of the class. Use that to your advantage.
I guess that's true,
Layla mumbled. I reached out and stroked Layla's soft auburn hair. I'm sorry, Layla. I know it's been difficult. But you're an amazing summoner. Don't give up on yourself now.
Okay, Griffy,
she agreed with a sigh.
I'll try harder.
She leaned up on her tiptoes and planted a kiss on my lips, and I wrapped my arms around the tiny summoner and gave her a huge hug. I love you, I whispered into her ear.
I love you too,
she replied and squeezed me back tightly. Then, arm in arm, we made our way over to the dining hall. I entered the dining hall with Layla, and we walked straight over to the serving line, which was surprisingly long for a Monday. The room echoed with the sounds of clamoring silverware and discussions, and my head felt a little distant as I stood there with my tray and waited to get food. After a few minutes, a young woman in red-trimmed white robes in front of me turned around and offered me a smile.
You're Griff of Njorden Falls, correct?
She asked. That's me. I nodded.
Congratulations on the wedding,
she gushed.
Nia Kennefic is lucky to have you as her husband.
Thank you so much, I said politely. But I'm definitely the lucky one. Layla snorted behind me, and I shot the tiny summoner a smirk over my shoulder. The adept mage in front of me turned back around, and I smiled to myself. I really was the luckiest man in the world. Nia Kennefic was one of a kind, and I still couldn't believe the talented elementalist had willingly chosen me as her life partner. I made it to the front of the line in no time, and I piled my tray high with herb-roasted chicken, red-skinned mashed potatoes, some steamed green vegetables, a thick round of warm bread, and a bowl of fragrant chunky soup. My body ached, and I was feeling especially drained. So I figured the extra amount of food couldn't hurt. As Layla and I left the line, I was approached by a pair of other mages, who repeated similar sentiments as the adept had a moment ago.
Congratulations, Griff! Good job, summoner! Kennefic is a real catch!
How did you manage to land a girl like that?
Layla brushed past me with a wink and went to go find a seat. She didn't mess around when it came to lunchtime. And I figured she was bored with the congratulatory remarks. So I thanked the mages for their well wishes, and then I noticed a hand waving in the air.
Griff!
Aaron exclaimed, and the orange-haired mimic waved me over to our usual table in the middle of the room. She was flanked by Syra and Layla on her bench, while Nia, Brayden, and Gawain sat opposite on the other bench.
How was your class this morning?
The pilot asked. And her amber eyes were bright with excitement.
Did you whip those first years into shape?
Teaching first years is way harder than it should be, I groaned as I slumped into the bench beside Nia. The rest of my friends eyed me with varying degrees of concern, aside from Layla, who was busy giving extra attention to a mound of mashed potatoes, and Gawain, who seemed entirely lost in thought.
Have you considered this is probably payback from Sleet to make up for all the stress you put Mr. Brevins through in your first year?
Brayden joked, and then he took a big bite of roasted chicken. His plate was piled even higher than mine, but then again, the kind-eyed summoner was also much bulkier than I, so the extra nourishment was necessary for his metabolism. I didn't put Brevins through that much, I argued, but Brayden waved me off with a large hand.
Listen, you were definitely right to stir up trouble, he smiled in reassurance. Mr. Brevins was a good enough guy, but his teaching skills were pretty subpar.
Wait, Griff?
Syra teased with a wink of her dark eyelashes.
Stirring up trouble? Who would believe that? Definitely not me.
Aaron giggled in agreement.
Griff's an angel sent from the Maker himself.
Yeah. I grumbled, but my lips kept wanting to twitch up into a smile. So I scooped a large spoonful of hot soup into my mouth, and the thick chowder was warm and delicious on my tongue. Then I swallowed hard, and Nia rested a hand on my shoulder.
For Maker's sake, Griff, it's only your second week,
she reminded me.
You can't expect a miracle. Mr. Brevins wasn't exactly the finest instructor, and those kids are probably just weary of a new professor stepping in mid-semester.
You're right, I agreed with a sigh. I just want to be a great teacher.
And you will be,
Aaron assured me.
You're a great guy, Griff, and a talented summoner. But you have to trust the process and your own intelligence,
Syra added. The dark-eyed summoner picked up a piece of chicken and held it up to her shoulder, and Kaelon stuck her tiny silver head out of Syra's nest of curls and gobbled the meat up in one bite. When did you all get so wise? I laughed, and I smiled at all of my supportive friends.
Well, at least one of us here needed to step it up,
Layla quipped, and she reached across the table and tousled my hair violently. I pushed the summoner's tiny hands away and smoothed my hair back into place before I made a second attempt at the soup. This time, I had the sense to blow on it first, and the second slurp went down my throat much easier than the first.
I have an idea, Brayden spoke up. What if Layla or I popped in on one of your classes for a demonstration? Maybe seeing another summoner who's learned from you would be helpful for the first years.
That's a great idea, Brayden, I grinned.
Layla, what do you think?
More class that I didn't even sign up for?
Layla groaned.
No, thank you. You can use Brayden as your backup. Besides, he'll probably intimidate them more than I would anyways.
The pretty summoner gestured at Brayden and knowingly looked him up and down with a raised eyebrow. Layla was probably right. Brayden was built like a tank. My ox-like friend would likely intimidate the first years more than I could.
I don't know about that, Bethel,
Brayden laughed.
You can be pretty scary when you want to be.
And don't you forget it,
Layla shouted, and she shoved a spoonful of vegetables into her tiny mouth with ease. Brayden coming is probably for the best, I conceded. One of my students is impossibly arrogant, and I don't need Layla to send him to the infirmary.
I can't stand arrogance, Gawain said suddenly with a shake of his head.
He'd been silent for our entire conversation, but spoke up at just the right time. I resisted the urge to laugh at the haughty fire mage, and the rest of the group seemed to be having the same issue. Layla, however, didn't have the same level of restraint, and the petite summoner let out a snort. Gawain shot an agitated glare at her, which finally made the rest of us break out into ruckus laughter.
You're all a bunch of children,
the mage groaned, but I caught the hint of a smile on his lips before he concealed it behind his mug of mead.
So when are you two leaving for your honeymoon?
Syra asked Nia, and the ashen-haired mage considered the idea for a moment
and then shrugged.
We haven't really discussed it,
Nia admitted, and Erin's jaw nearly dropped to her plate.
Maker, the honeymoon is the best part of the whole wedding experience,
the mimic urged.
How have you guys not discussed it yet?
And just how many times have you been married again?
Syra joked, and Erin stuck out her tongue at the summoner.
I'm just saying, Nia and Griff deserve a nice honeymoon away from Varley, where they can relax and enjoy each other's company as man and wife. That does sound quite pleasant,
Nia agreed as her blue eyes grew wistful.
With the midterm exams and all of the wedding theatrics with my family, I hadn't really given a honeymoon much thought.
We've definitely been preoccupied, I nodded in agreement.
Well, you guys deserve a fun trip with lots of sexy times,
Layla insisted with a waggle of her eyebrows.
Now that you're married, you can start making some cute babies.
Maker, everyone wants to talk about babies today, I laughed. But the girls had brought up a great point. Nia deserved a lavish honeymoon to celebrate our marriage. And after everything we'd been through, I wanted to make it happen for her. So I made a note to remind her of it later when we were alone.
Speaking of offspring, have any of you seen Freya today?
Erin spoke up.
I did earlier this morning,
Syra said, and the chocolate-eyed summoner tamed a curly lock of her hair behind her ear before she continued.
She was still sleeping pretty deeply when I woke up, so I didn't want to disturb her, but I made sure her blinds were closed so the sun wouldn't bother her too much.
That was very thoughtful of you, I smiled. Thank you for staying with her after I left last night.
Of course,
Syra replied.
Freya knew you had an important day ahead, and I really didn't mind spending some extra time with her. I hope she starts feeling better soon,
Nia remarked, and her delicate eyebrows came together worriedly.
I wish Arwen were here to assess her pain. We should try to cheer her up tonight,
Layla suggested.
It isn't medicine, but maybe a girl's night would make her feel better.
That's a great idea, I agreed. Freya could use a little pampering.
Sleep over?
Layla chirped as her hazel eyes lit up at the prospect, and the girls all laughed at Layla's excitement.
Let's go and start brainstorming some ideas,
Erin suggested, and Layla clapped her hands together happily.
I've been waiting for this moment,
she cried, and the summoner jumped up from her seat with lightning speed.
I have so many fun ideas.
Syra and Erin stood up and grabbed their trays, ready to follow Layla.
See you later, Griff,
Erin smiled.
Wish us luck,
Syra snickered, and the girls turned and left the dining hall in a hurry. I shook my head and smirked.
I'm going to go to the restroom and freshen up before class,
Nia said, and she kissed my cheek before she got up and left the room too. I have no idea how you handle so many women, Summoner, Gawain said, as he watched the girls leave with a puzzled expression. They handle themselves, I snorted. I'm just along for the ride. Brayden, Gawain, and I ate in silence for a while, and once I finished my plate, I glanced at the clock. My next class would be starting soon, and I needed to make up for the fact I'd fallen asleep in history by being on time for the next course. So I bid farewell to Gawain and Brayden. And then I ran across campus to make it in time for my physical training class. The day blazed by even more quickly after lunch. In physical training, I was pitted up against a third-year water mage. And while the girl put up a good fight, I won the match at the last possible moment.
You continued to improve by the day, Griff.
Major Titus, our instructor, complimented me as I left. And the sentiment made me smile. Needless to say, I was relieved when my classes had finally finished for the day. Once I had packed up my things and waved goodbye to a few people, I walked out of the black oak doors of the academy and started to make my way back home. I took my time and admired the colors of the leaves on the nearby tree as I passed by them. Autumn was one of my favorite times of the year, and the sight of the red-tinted trees filled me with a nostalgic feeling of warmth.
You could fill me with warmth, Master.
I halted in my tracks and groaned. Syra, for the last time, leave me alone, I demanded with a slight growl in my voice. Luckily, I didn't hear another word from the Dark Goddess the rest of the way home. But I wondered if her demanding presence was something I should mention to Arwen or Sleet. But even if it was something to make known to my professors, how would I bring it up? Hey, Headmaster, so I enticed the Arkans into submission by making them a deal to impregnate them, but now they're getting horny and out of hand, and I'm afraid I'm losing control of them? Right. That would land me a stay in the infirmary, and Sleet would never trust me with the researcher's findings. I suddenly felt alone, so I reached into my bandolier and grabbed Dio's essence crystal.
Finally!
Dio exclaimed with an exaggerated yawn. I threw the crystal on the ground, and when Dio appeared in a gray burst of smoke, I was surprised to see the saber-toothed cat monster had manifested in his miniature form, instead of his usual massive one.
Give me some credit, Dio complained. I know the drill by now.
Sorry I ever doubted you, I laughed, and I reached down to scratch the top of my familiar's head. Dio let out a loud purr of happiness, trotted at my side as we walked.
You know, boss, I'm beginning to sense a pattern here, Dio pointed out.
What do you mean by that? I asked as I ducked under a long tree branch that extended into the path.
You only let me out to play when you're walking home, Dio complained. I've been so bored today, and you didn't even let me hang out in your pouch.
Sorry, Dio, I apologized. I had a lot on my mind today. I didn't mean to ignore you.
I know, but why don't you give me some more head scratches and talk about it?
That seems like a pretty good deal.
Damn right it is, Dio chirped.
Make her preserve me. You're such a pain, I laughed, and Dio wiggled his tiny rear at me.
You know, if that kid Darius continues acting like a spoiled brat, you could always summon me and let me growl a little bit, he offered. I could be pretty scary.
Definitely, I agreed, and I snickered at the idea of Dio growling at Darius while in his kitten-sized form.
You know what I mean, Dio grumbled. I'm ferocious.
Finally, our large mansion appeared off in the distance, and Dio and I quickened our pace. I was certainly eager to get home after the intensive day I'd had, and I needed to check in with Freya and make sure she was all right.
Can I see Freya too?
Dio asked excitedly. You can ride along with me, but she might be feeling sick, so I don't think a full visit is a great idea, I replied.
Aww,
Dio lamented, but I gave him another scratch and he seemed to cheer up. As we entered the house, I decided it would be wise to stop in my room for a bit and relax. With everything she was going through, Freya didn't need to see the sight of me so tightly wound. So I went to my room, dropped my school bag beside the wardrobe, kicked off my heavy boots, and settled myself into the downy dark gray comforter. Then I felt a light pop, and I opened my eyes to see Dio had joined me on the bed. After he stretched out his tiny legs, the little cat monster jumped up onto me and curled up into a tiny spiral on my chest. So I snuggled him closer to me and listened to the soothing vibrations of his purrs. Dio could be a real softy when he wanted to be.
Fuck off!
The miniature saber-toothed cat grumbled, but he continued to purr as I petted him. We remained there for a while until I noticed the room had grown darker. I sat up and gingerly set Dio down onto the bed, so I wouldn't wake the sleeping monster. And then I climbed out and decided it was time to visit Freya. So I ascended the spiral staircase and headed to the third floor. I walked down to the end of the hallway until I was in front of Freya's door, and I knocked gently in case my shapeshifter wife was still sleeping. After a moment of silence, I heard a voice call out, but the door muffled the sound, and I couldn't make out the words. So, with a gentle flick of my wrist, I slowly turned the knob, opened the door, and peered into the room. The deep golden light of the setting sun filtered in through the arched windows and cast a jewel-toned glow throughout the entire room. And with the curling vines strewn about, the bedroom truly looked like an exotic jungle. Freya was curled up in her enormous bed with her knees to her chest. Her porcelain skin had taken on a wan sheen, and her dirty blonde hair was even more wild and tangled than usual. She looked incredibly sick.
"Husband,"
she croaked in her native tongue.
"Oh, I have missed you."
I was alarmed by the tone of her voice, so I quickly entered the room and perched beside her on the edge of her elaborate bed. An off smell soon reached my nostrils, and I recognized it immediately as vomit. Saliva instantly flooded my mouth, and I resisted the urge to retch.
"I'm so sorry, my love,"
Freya apologized, and her gold-flecked brown eyes were embarrassed as she followed my gaze to her waste bucket.
"I haven't had the strength to clean it."
"Don't apologize," I said firmly. "You aren't feeling well, and this can't be easy on you."
"It is not,"
my wife admitted with a sigh.
"Our fledgling is misbehaving already, and she hasn't even taken her first flight. And though we have not met, I am certain she is going to be quite headstrong."
"She?" I wondered incredulously. "How do you..."
"Well, I cannot be certain,"
Freya admitted, and the blonde princess's cheeks flushed scarlet.
"It is simply a feeling."
"Well, if your feeling is accurate, our daughter's going to be just as beautiful and independent as her mother," I said, and I kissed the top of Freya's golden head.
"And if I am wrong, your son will be just as mighty as his father,"
Freya swore in a proud tone. I stroked her hair, and after a minute or two, I pulled myself from the bed and reached over and carefully moved her waste bucket over to the door so I could clean it out later. It was the least I could do for my pregnant wife, and I was happy to assist in any way I could. I turned around to smile at her, but her expression had shifted from peaceful and content to forlorn in a matter of seconds. Suddenly, she started to cry, and soft tears streamed down her cheeks as she whimpered. Mere moments later, her quiet sniffles turned into heaving sobs that made her whole body tremble and shake. "Freya, what's wrong?" I pleaded, and my heart grew heavy in my chest as I rushed back to her side. "Are you feeling okay?"
I miss making love to you,"
she stammered between sobs, and she dropped her head into her hands and collapsed into herself. "Oh, Freya," I said softly, and then I wrapped my arms around my hawk wife's shoulders to comfort her, and she nestled right into my embrace.
"I am tired of feeling so sick,"
Freya sniffed.
"I miss you. I miss being with you, sleeping with you, touching you. Our child is so very strong, but she is making me feel so weak."
I rubbed my hand in circles along her spine as she cried, and I took a moment to consider the right thing to say.
"I know it is not my turn,"
Freya continued,
"but I need you, my love. While my womb is already filled with your growing child, I still crave your body and your warm seat."
"I'm all yours," I assured her, "any time that you want me."
"I want you,"
she murmured, and then she reached up and planted a kiss on my lips. I ran my hands through her wild hair, and even though Freya was worn out and sick, her golden tresses still held the same lavender smell as always, and the familiar scent of her drew me in closer. Then Freya broke off the kiss and looked me deep in the eyes.
"Griff,"
she asked quietly,
"do you still find me beautiful?"
"Of course I do," I promised. "Why would you ask me that?"
"I do not feel very beautiful right now,"
Freya sighed, and her golden hawk eyes were downcast.
"I know I should rejoice at my soon-to-be swollen belly, but I worry you won't find me as attractive as you did before."
"Freya, please," I murmured. "I can't even begin to explain just how gorgeous you look. You're one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen in my life, and this pregnancy is only going to make you even more lovely."
"Do you really think so?"
Freya whispered, and I nodded my head. "Of course I do," I smiled. You're the mother of my child. Freya sniffled, and then she wiped her nose with the back of her hand and offered me a tiny smile.
I'm sorry for being so upset, my love. My thoughts are pulling me in many directions, and I feel as if I'm going crazy.
You have nothing to be sorry for, I said, and when I pulled Freya closer to me, the shape-shifting princess wrapped her arms around my neck tightly.
Kiss me again,
she requested, and I happily obliged. Her full lips were strong against mine, and I was surprised at the force she applied against me. The beautiful blonde pressed her pert breasts against me, and I could feel her hard nipples through the flimsy cotton of her nightgown. Freya's eyes were heavy-lidded and dark with lust.
I wish to make love to you on every surface of our enormous new home, starting with this one.
My cock began to stir as we kissed, and Freya's hand traveled down to my trousers. I shuddered at her touch, and then she suddenly pulled away. Is everything all right? I asked. Freya's face had grown paler, and she looked like she was on the verge of getting sick.
I am sorry,
she apologized as she settled back onto the bed.
It is our child again.
Strong-willed, just like their mother, I smiled.
I wish to make love to you and moan your name as loud as possible,
Freya sighed, but then her face grew serious.
But all I can focus on is the discomfort our child is bringing me.
We have all of the time in the world to make that possible, I chuckled. Is there anything else I can get for you in the meantime? Food? A bath? Rest? What can I do to ease your pain?
I am quite hungry,
Freya admitted. Well, what can I get for you? I asked. Does anything sound good to eat?
My body is not craving normal foods. Everything is making me sick,
she lamented and eyed the waste bucket across the room with distress. Is there anything I can get that won't make your stomach upset? I wondered. Freya thought about this for a moment, and an idea appeared to cross her mind.
You will not be understanding,
she warned. If it can be made in Mistral, I can make it happen, I promised. Freya perched herself at her vanity and made a face when she took in the sight of her reflection. Then she ran a brush through her hair and considered my offer.
It is what my mother ate daily when our belly was swollen with Vala,
Freya began.
It helped soothe her when she was feeling sick.
What is it? I implored.
I crave a cup of cold cream and a bowl of plump mice.
I paused and blinked. Come again? I asked. Had I heard her correctly?
Come to where?
Freya asked in confusion, and she furrowed her golden eyebrows.
You will come inside me again? You haven't yet today. Weren't we just...
It's an expression, I said with a shake of my head. It's meant for clarification.
Please, Griff, my husband,
Freya begged.
If you love me, can you please bring me mice, dead or alive, and cold cream? I am begging you to find them for me.
Freya's eyes grew watery again, and I stumbled over to her before she could start crying. I'll get them for you, I promised, and I kissed her forehead gently.
Thank you, my husband,
Freya sniffed and smiled.
Once my stomach has settled, we will make love as loudly as possible in every position we can.
That's a good plan, I grinned. I'll go find some for you, and then we can pick up where we left off. Does that sound good? Freya nodded.
I knew you were the best mate I could have possibly found.
I gave her one last hug before I walked out, and then I left the room and closed the door lightly behind me. Where in the Maker's name was I going to find a bowl of mice?